Paul, what's the news on Tyler?
Day-to-day, lower body, won't play tonight.
Okay. Relief?
Yes.
You don't need another guy going down back there. Yeah.
No, you know, because, I mean, I would say that's true of every injury that you get, unless the guy's planning for training camp. You're thankful that it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, Dustin, of course, provided quite a bit of offense, yeah. A lot of minutes. So how do you compensate or adjust for that tonight?
So you don't make a whole lot of changes, but what you've got to prepare for is understanding it's probably going to look a little different than it does when those two big men are in your lineup. So we're... Yeah, they both different in a different style of game, generate a fair amount, generate some zone time, their ability to keep pucks in, but also, you know, in that right corner in our end of the ice, if they can get you in the corner, you're probably not coming out on them. So your containment usually isn't quite as good. So we want to move a little faster, move the puck a little faster, get to it, the smaller guys, Sammy goes in, get to it a little quicker, get it moved, get it off your stick and get it going north.
Never an ideal situation when it's a result of an injury, but you're kind of throwing Sammy in there with two big minute guys out, meaning he's probably going to get a little more than he might usually if he was kind
Well, of we ran that, right? We had Noge and Nelson Noge and Sammy in the lineup with Joe came in the island, and they all played and played important minutes for us. So it's a whole lot easier to go in the lineup and play than it is for, because all of these guys that come up are playing big minutes with their American League teams, so they come up here and they get shifted to a different role. It's one of the challenges of these guys playing on a fourth line, because you don't get to the National Hockey League because you were a fourth line player on your last team. You were the A guy, and you get up here and now you're on the fourth line. So it's easier if we can get them out there more, but they've got to do enough good things to make that happen.
Up front at four, we see a lot of guys kind of mature and develop under the tutelage of Blake Wheeler and even Mark Scheifele in some ways. Who is that guy on defense, especially with two big guys out in Tyler Myers and Dustin? Is there anyone that helps Sammy with
Well, so those are two different things, right? The idea of a mentor is a longer-term thing. We don't need necessarily a mentor on the bench, but they're all veteran guys back there now. Like, we don't look at, you know, at one point Lowry, Scheif, and Trouba were our young guys. So that's 3-4 years ago. And now we don't even talk about them being young anymore. They're the guys. Josh doesn't seem to need a whole lot of help finding his game. So, you know, Kulikov and Morrow and Sherrod all got lots of games in the National Hockey League.
You look at Kulikov, he seems almost like he's playing some of his better hockey yep. of late. He seems to be in that perfect range maybe in minutes, but you ask him what the perfect minutes are and he says 20, 21, 22.
Yeah, there wouldn't be a player, and this is a good thing, on that blue line that has not sat in my office trying to figure out how he can get more minutes. Okay. They all do it in their own way. It's a different conversation with each one of them, but they all want to play more.
What have you seen from that third line with you've been asked about it kind of ad nauseum here, but with Lowry and Perreault and Tanev, a lot of people wonder, you know, given the versatility of a guy like Matthew Perreault, why he might not be up with a guy like Patrick Laine to help with his game. Is maybe that's kind of armchair coaching a little bit, but do you see kind of is it the consistency of that line that maintains them, or is there
well
a bit of that?
There's a bunch of things. So first of all, that line has played together before Perreault, Little and Patty, and then the other pieces are that I like Patty on the left right now a little bit better. He's been stronger on that wall on our own end of the ice. It also puts Roslovic on the wing, and I like Andrew Kopp at center. So there's other pieces that go to that. The question with Matty Perreault playing there is he's not a defensive specialist. It's not really what he's ever done. But what he does is he works as hard as anybody in our lineup. So now you have Tanev, Lowry, and Perreault really working at a really high level. There's some offense there. There's also a little bit of risk that comes into that line, and you saw it on the first goal against, but we're getting way more positive from it, so there's a little bit more risk in their lineup. When you work as hard as Matty works, you can be a good defensive player. You know, you're not going to get every route right or every read right, but you can be a good player. So I don't want to break that lineup to get somebody else possibly going. We've moved Brian Little's line around, parts based on injury. We've had Kyle there. Went well for a while. It didn't go so well for a little while. So we'll give this other grouping a little bit of time.
Do you feel like you've used Brassois sparingly this season? How would you describe his usage this year?
In a support role is exactly how it's been. So the idea is certainly a certain number of games. I think that And you'll start to see it tonight, but from now until the end of March, we knew that our schedule would get stacked up, that he's going to get more playing time to get him in that 1-4 range. But the idea has always been with Connor, is he fresh, is he right, is he in a rhythm? And that has been our priority.
Last one for me. That's one of the things I've been curious about with Connor Hellebuyck. A lot of people think it's a conversation you have and just going off his word if he's okay. But I imagine there's other things that are at play when deciding his fatigue or you know, when you think long-term into the season and potentially the playoffs and stuff like that. What else goes into determining his
Workload, how he looks in the net, how he but you do. The number one guy has to develop that ability to be honest with his support coach, which is Wade Flaherty, about exactly how he's feeling. Now, that doesn't mean by any means, he says, you know, I'm a little bit tired, that he doesn't necessarily play the next game, nor more so he says, hey, I feel great. Well, that's fine, but you're still not going the next game. You know, that goalies, those guys have to develop that ability to play fatigued, because they all almost do, and they get into a rhythm and they want to play. Each of these 3 years for Connor, and we'll count this as the third, are completely different feeling years, and he's got to learn how to handle each one. The first one was difficult for him. He'd never really been through that, and he responded real well, but he carried a heavy workload, so he's learning how to do that. And now he comes back to the season with expectation of performance. So that's a completely different set of circumstances that he's dealing with, and he needs to go through that process.
Those players who come up from the AHL from playing big minutes and play the reduced minutes here, the ones over your career that you've seen handle that well and succeed, what are the traits you see from them that allow them to do that?
They focus on that event, that game. It's not how their winger or their centerman that they played college with is playing on that other team and he's getting more minutes or he's scoring more points. And as soon as they shed where I'd like to play, how many minutes I'd like to have, boy, I'd love to play left wing with Scheifele and Wheeler, you know. There's 10 other forwards that wouldn't mind playing there, and just handle it, being really good at that. All the things that you require from your fourth line are a really high intensity level, and the idea that you're learning the game, especially when they're young, right? And this is a bit new. We're a little different here. As it used to be, you had 3 30-year-old guys, maybe one young guy and 2 older guys in the line. We got a young line there. Learning the game, learning the Jets game, learning the NHL game, and then playing as hard as you possibly can. The hard as you possibly can is brand new because they don't know how hard they can play it. They haven't developed the physical capacity or the mental capacity to drive as hard as they can. And that's what life on the fourth line is all about.
So I would assume that being okay with where you are and focusing in on where you are, but still keeping that, you know, hunger to get to where you want to go, that's got to be a tricky balance. Have you coached guys?
No, the guys either get it or they don't at some point. And then, I mean, they don't play for 70 years, right? So they got a 2-3 year window where they, while they're doing that, they're also getting bigger, stronger, faster, developing their skills, and then they start to get a chance, kind of like what Roslovic's getting right now, or Kyle Connor, right? Played a little in the fourth line, went to the minors, came back, got his chance, boom. Right? It was 2 years. He was ready for that. We were unusual with Ehlers and Line A. They come right out of amateur hockey and play and get an opportunity. But the vast majority of these guys, while they're down there, it's not just, you know, biding your time. There's the big mistake. I'm just waiting for my chance. It's one of my favorite lines ever, right? You know, wait for your chance. The chance is coming. You just damn well be prepared when it gets there. So when you get it, then you're probably not keeping it, because Nick Ehlers is a pretty good hockey player. When he comes back in the lineup, I'm going to find him a spot.